says my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to John chapter 4. How you guys doing, man? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And when you get there, say amen. St. John. Not 1 John, but St. John. In St. John chapter 4, I want to go to verse number 20. The lady is talking to Jesus, the woman at the well in Samaria. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." He says, "The Samaritans don't know what they worship." King James says, "You worship, you know not what." But Jesus said, "We know what we worship, because salvation is of the Jews." In verse 23, he said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true," somebody say true, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And then Jesus said in verse 24, he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in what? Truth." Amen. When you study the series of scripture that we just read, you will find that it is packed with a lot of good information that as Christians we need to be familiar with. You know, it is packed with information not just from a theological point of view, but also from a historical point of view. And it's, you know, we need to be able to see both sides of the equation, you know, from a theological point of view and also from a historical point of view. Because if we do not see it that way, we will not only miss out on what Jesus is saying to the woman at the well in Samaria, but we will miss out on what the word of God is telling us to do. Are y'all still with me? We will miss out on what the scripture is saying to us if we don't pay attention to the historical and the theological message that Jesus just talk to this woman about and that he's sharing with us. Are y'all still with me? Because in the series of scripture, we find that Jesus and the woman at the well in Samaria is having a conversation concerning worship. Okay, they're having a conversation concerning worship. And Jesus was talking to her about not just any old kind of worship, but true worship. Amen. Now, if you read the whole chapter, you will find that Jesus had just was on a journey, and he went by this well, okay, Jacob's well, to stop to get some rest, amen. But that's not the only reason why Jesus went by there. See, every time Jesus got a chance to witness, if you will, or to teach, he took advantage of their time. Most people, when they read this scripture, they talk about the fact that Jesus Christ must have been thirsty. Well, he probably was, but he went to get some water at the well. But how many of you know, just like the woman said as we read the series of scripture, she told Jesus, "You don't have anything to draw with. So what are you going to put the water in?" Amen. Well, what that tells me is that Jesus' only mission wasn't to go there just to drink some water, okay? His mission was to go there to share some knowledge with the woman at the well that day, amen? Some spiritual knowledge. Are you all still with me? So we find in verse number 7, the Bible says, verse 6, Jesus went to the well. The Bible says in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me some water." or give me to drink. Verse 8 says, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then the woman said to Jesus, the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now I'm going to give you a quick history class because you have to understand the dialogue here in detail that's going on with Jesus and the woman in Samaria, because if we do not, we will miss out on a lot of information that is power-packed in this series of scripture, okay? See, the Jews and Samaritans didn't really see eye to eye. And it started way back in the time when the northern kingdom of Israel went into exile to the Assyrians. Y'all still with me? Remember, we talked many times before about how they were a disobedient rebellion to God, and God turned them over to the Assyrians, okay? Well, when they went to Assyria, some of them were led to Assyria, but some of the people stayed in the land. And what the Assyrians did, they mixed foreigners, okay, with the people who stayed in the land. And the foreigners ended up intermarrying with the Jews, and that's how we got the race of the Samaritans. Are you all still with me? Amen. And then the southern kingdom ended up messing up later on, and they went in exile to the Babylonians. Are you all still with me? Amen. They went in exile to the Babylonians. And then when Cyrus the Great, you know, came and they released the Jews, they allowed Nehemiah to go back home to rebuild the temple, okay, that the Babylonians had tore up, okay? And when he went back, he faced some opposition. Well, guess who the opposition came from? The Samaritans, amen? So from that point of time in history, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. Are you all still with me? Amen. So that's what the woman said to Jesus, what she said. He said, Jesus, are you a Jew? You ask me to drink? I'm a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Are y'all still with me? But how many of you know Jesus was on a mission? Jesus knew the Jews didn't have no business with the Samaritans. But how many of you know Jesus is not just an ordinary man? Y'all still with me? Look at what he said here in verse 10. He said, woman, if you knew the gift of God, and who is talking to you right now and asking you to give me something to drink, she said, you wouldn't even ask me about why am I talking to the Samaritan. Are y'all still with me this morning? And the woman told Jesus, he said, sir, you have nothing to draw with. I told you earlier, Jesus knew he didn't have anything to draw with. His mission was not just to go get some water. His mission was to go to witness to this young lady about what's the hour is and the hour that's coming. In other words, the time. See, God always gives us opportunities to witness to people. People ask us somewhere, how did you do so and so? We say, well, you know, I did it because that's a witness moment. Are you all still with me? Amen. Now stay with me here. The woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw with in verse 11. You know, Jesus answered in verse 13, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Verse 14, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The woman says, sir, give me this water that I thirst no more. And I don't have to come in here to this well and draw any more water. If you give me the water, you're talking about Jesus. When we know the rest of the story, Jesus told her to go get your husband, and she said, well, you know, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you have a number of husbands, and the one you're with there is not your husband. Amen, amen, amen. So the woman said, there's something about Jesus. The woman said, this must be a prophet. Verse 19. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she got into a worship discussion with Jesus. She went back to it. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain. Verse 20. Are y'all still with me? And you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. What is she talking about here? Let me tell you what she's talking about here. You know, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, God told them, the place that I put my name, that's where you need to go to worship. Y'all still with me? So they were supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Well, I mentioned to you a few minutes ago about the divided kingdom, okay? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You all still with me? Have I lost anybody? It's a history class. You have to know what's going on. See, a lot of times people want to go, the theological. You need to know some history. Because if you know the history, you will better appreciate the theology of what the Word of God is saying to us. Y'all still with me? Well, they were divided, okay, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the reason why they were divided is because of King Solomon and his horde, if you will. You know, they started being wicked. Are y'all still with me? So King Solomon had a man in his camp named Jeroboam. He was the Bible says he's a man of valor, 1 Kings. Y'all still with me? And the Bible says Jeroboam was walking down the street one day. I don't know, was he walking in Killeen or Hakahai, but I know he was walking somewhere. He was headed toward Jerusalem. And the Bible says a prophet, Ahijah, 1 Kings, came to him and said, listen, God is getting ready to take the kingdom from Solomon because of their wickedness. Are you all still with me? Y'all know King Solomon, you know, the guy who thought he was a lover man. Messed with all those strange women. They started worshiping other gods. The Bible said, there shall not have any other god before me. He said, I'm getting ready to take the kingdom from Solomon. And he said, Jeroboam, I'm going to give you 10 tribes. How many tribes of Israel were there? There were 12. He said, I'm going to give you 10 tribes. I'm going to give them 10. Give them to you now. And I'm going to leave Judah, one tribe, with Solomon. And instead of Solomon be the king, he's going to be the prince of Judah. Now, we know Benjamin ended up going as well because the Bible tells us later on that Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, assembled Benjamin with Judah. Y'all still with me? Now, stay with me. We're going to get back to this. Because you have to understand what the woman is talking about here. He said, I'm going to give you 10. He said, the only reason, y'all got to catch this, the only reason I'm going to leave a tribe with Solomon is because of King David. He's the only reason. If it wasn't for King David, because we know the Bible says King David was a man after who? God's on what? That tells me he was a worshiper. He spent time praising and worshiping the Lord. In his highest highs, in his lowest lows, he spent time worshiping God. What does that tell me? That tells me that worship is important to God. Are you all still with me? He said, so because of King Solomon, because of David, his father, I'm going to leave him a tribe for as long as he lived. And that's exactly what God did. Well, when Solomon died, his son, what's his son name? Let me test your history. Rehoboam, one of his sons, took over the southern kingdom. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Now, wait a minute. So here we have Jeroboam in the north, Rehoboam in the south. Well, God had told the prophet to tell Jeroboam, the northern guy. Y'all still with me? The one he gave the 10 tribes to? He said, listen. This is what I want you to do. And if you do what I tell you to do, like David did, I'm going to bless you going in, going out in the city, in the field. Just purge out. You're going to have everything you need. But how many of you know? Instead of him listening to God, he started worshiping idols. We're talking about Jeroboam. How many know jealousy can do a lot of things for you? Because he was jealous of the people who were part of the northern kingdom, he said if they go to Jerusalem to worship, they might lose loyalty to me. They might have loyalty to Rehoboam or Jerusalem. So what I'm going to do here going to build some altars in a city called Dan, in a city called Bethel. And when they, instead of them going to Jerusalem, they can just stop at those altars or idols that I build, and they can worship God right there. Are y'all still with me? Keep that in mind. So what the one is talking about is we don't have to go to Jerusalem. Jesus, you said we got to go to Jerusalem, but our fathers worshiped in the mountain. In other words, they worship in Dan and Bethel. How many of you know that's vain worship? Because God told them to go to Jerusalem. Keep that in mind. Are y'all still with me? Let's go back to the series of scripture. I tell you, you have to understand the history. So the woman said here, verse 20, she said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Look at what Jesus said to her. She says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Do y'all see that? In other words, Jesus says, the hour coming and now is, or the time is coming, it has now come that you don't have to worship God in a, listen to this, specific place. Because the mountain was a place. Jerusalem was a place. Jesus said, the time is coming when you don't have to worship him in a specific place. Are y'all still with me? You don't have to worship him in a specific place. He said, you don't know what you worship. We know what we worship because salvation is of the Jews. And then he says, verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, not in necessarily in Jerusalem, not in the mountains, not over the hills, but they must worship the Father in what? Spirit and what? Truth. That's the kind of people the Father is seeking to worship him. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then he tells them why they have to worship him in the spirit and truth. He says, God is a what? Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I want you to go back to verse 23. Because verse 23 says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. But then in verse 24, he said that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, what that tells me is that there are no alternatives to worshiping God. What that tells me is that it's not the place that we worship God. It's whether or not it's in spirit and in truth. Are y'all still with me? It's not the place. It's the spirit. They said they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus, I want to go back to what he told the Samaritan woman. He said, y'all don't know how to worship, see? Because, see, a lot of people today don't worship God because they don't know how to do it. So they worship him in any kind of way. They worship him in vain. But Jesus said that the true worshipers must, there are no alternatives, no other options, must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then he says, why? He said, because God is a spirit. Did y'all see that? Now, when I studied this series of scripture right there, I've seen it many times in my Christian career, if you will. But Jesus said that they must worship the Father in spirit and in truth because God is a what? Let me ask you a question. Wasn't God a spirit before Jesus said that? I mean, God has always been a spirit. So Jesus says now they must worship him in spirit and truth because he's a spirit, but he's always been a spirit. So why is it that they didn't worship him in spirit and truth a long time ago? Are y'all still with me? Why is that? Well, once again, God told him initially, worship me where? In Jerusalem. And then the Samaritans said, we worship him in the mountains because of Jeroboam and Dan and Bethel. But now all of a sudden, Jesus is telling the woman and telling us to worship in the spirit because God is a spirit, but God has always been a spirit. Why is that? Well, Christian, let me share something with you here. Jesus told the woman, the hour cometh and now is. In other words, he said, some things have changed. He said, some things have changed. Because when God told them to worship in Jerusalem, Jesus was not on the scene yet. Are y'all still with me? He wasn't on the scene yet. But how many know he's on the scene now? And how many of you know he's on the scene when he's talking to this woman at the well at Samaria? See, we've talked about the fact many times that when Adam and Eve sinned, mankind became spiritually separated from God, spiritually dead, if you will. They got spiritually separated. That's why people today who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have been spiritually separated from God. That's why Christians, we have to be born again. Are y'all still with me? Back in those days, you know, man could not pray directly to God. They needed help from the priest. And we know the prophets always told them what thus saith the Lord. Are you all still with me? Amen. So because of that reason, okay, they were spiritually cut off. They had to go to a physical place. Why? Because they couldn't pray to God through the Spirit because they were spiritually separated from God. And then Jesus came on the scene. And through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he redeemed mankind. And not only did he redeem mankind, the Bible tells us that he also sent back who? The Holy Spirit. See, he sent back the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute. The Bible tells us if we are Christians, that our bodies is the what? Of who? The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is temple. So what that tells me is that since the body is the temple, because once again, in the Old Testament, he told them to go to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. Well, since the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means that in order to worship God, I do not have to go to a specific place because my body is the temple. In other words, what Jesus did, he reunited or reconnected or redeemed or helped me to be once again spiritually connected to God by way of the Holy Spirit. Because see, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't see it. But the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. And he lives on the inside of you. You can't see it. Why? Because it is spiritual. So the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Our bodies are the temple. So we don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship the Father. We can worship the Father wherever we are. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? Now we're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit as we move forward in the year of 2022. Because a lot of people think the Holy Spirit is Casper the Friendly Ghost. No, that's not who he is. He's the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we can worship anywhere now. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. We fall under a new covenant. That's what the New Testament is all about. That's why Jesus said, The hour cometh and now is. In other words, some things have changed. And it's not the place anymore. Yeah, we come to church to worship. How many of you know we should be worshiping God out there as well? Everywhere we go. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who came to lead us and guide us into all what? True worship, I like to say. True worship. Are y'all still with me? The new covenant tells us to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. That's why God sent him back, to lead us and guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will always lead us into not just worship, but true worship. See? See, there's a difference between worship and true worship. See, true worship starts on the inside. Worship, a lot of times people worship God in vain from the outside. They say they worship God, they're loving God, but what they're actually doing out there is just going through the motions. It has to start from the inside. And the only way that worship could start from the inside is that the Holy Spirit had to be inside. Because we can do it ourselves, no matter how hard we try. That's why you see people who come to the church or wherever, they worship in God, and then they go out there and they live like devils again. That's vain worship. That's not true worship. That's not spirit worship. That's fleshly worship. And it's vain. Are y'all still with me? And as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, he will lead us to true worship. Why? Because the Bible says he's the Spirit of what? Truth. Are y'all still with me? So Jesus said, listen, he says the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The only way we can worship the Father in spirit and truth is by the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, because of the new covenant, because of the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Pastor, was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Yes, he was. But he didn't live in them like he lives in us today. That's why they had to go to places. Are y'all still with me? Well, the Bible talks about he falling on people. Yeah, in the Old Testament, he fell on a lot of people. But he didn't live in them. See, that's the importance of Jesus. See, we don't have to pray like they prayed back then. Now we can pray to God in the name of Jesus. We can worship by way of the Holy Spirit, which is true worship. That's why Jesus said the hour cometh and now is, or the time has come and now is, because Jesus was on the scene. Are y'all still with me this morning? And see, there are many forms of worship. When we think about worship, a lot of people think about in the church. Lift your hands to the Lord. No. That's one form of worship. When Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Father in spiritual, he's not just talking about singing songs. He's not talking about just lifting up your hands. He is talking about a lifestyle. If you're looking for a title for today's message, the title of today's message is Live a Lifestyle of Worship. Live a lifestyle of worship. Because there are many forms of worship. Listen, how many of you know that serving God is a form of worship? Did you know that? How many of you know that loving God and loving people is a form of worship? Or loving people because God said to love people as a form of worship. How many of you know that obedience is a form of worship? How many of you know that respect, reverencing God, is a form of worship? How many of you know that making God first in your life is a form of worship? How many of you know that following God's commandments and not our own commandments is a form of worship. In other words, in everything that we do in this lifetime, we should do it as unto the Lord. And when we do things as unto the Lord, it's a form of worship. How many of you know giving your tithe and offering is a form of worship? How is that, Pastor? Because the Bible says so. Anything that God tells us to do, he is teaching us how to worship, respect him. Not just singing songs. But many people in this world, they think that singing songs is it. No. It's a lifestyle. And a lot of Christians don't know that. They do not know that worship is a lifestyle. They don't know that. They just think it's just going to church, lifting your hands to the Lord. See? Oh, worship was good this morning. Well, how was it three weeks when you was out there? Are y'all still with me this morning? It's a lifestyle. People don't know it's a lifestyle. And the reason why people do not know that it is a lifestyle is because they are not spiritually focused. They're not spiritually focused. That's why they don't know it's a lifestyle. They can think it's just doing stuff. The reason why is because they're not spiritually focused. They think they are, but they're not. Listen, people are worldly focused with spiritual thoughts. They are worldly focused with spiritual thoughts. Y'all still with me? In their mind, they think they're spiritual, but they're not. You know, the Bible says that Satan is a deceiver. How many know the mind is also a deceiver? That's why the Bible tells us to renew it. See? They think they are. And the bad thing about it is that people, they make comments that other people are not spiritual when in actual, they're not spiritual. But they think they are. Because of the mind. Jesus, I came to change some things. There's a new way to worship. And the way to worship God is in spirit, in truth. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Now, I want you to look at John 4:24 again. I know we're still there, but it's good. Because Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Y'all still with me? Now, that word worship there, because I tell you there's many forms of worship. There's a Greek word, I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to remember it, but I'm just going to give it to you just so you know it. That word worship right there is a word called proskuneo, proskuneo. You know? And that word means to prostrate oneself. Prostrate oneself. Okay? It means to prostrate oneself. And that word prostrate means to lie down flat on the ground with your face toward the ground. In other words, a Pastor Ron laid down on the ground and had his face down to the ground, then that's a form of worship. You know, some people, you know, we know in the Bible tells us in some cases to bow down and worship him. Are y'all still with me? Bow down and worship him. David said in the 9th Psalm, he said, I bow down and worship the Lord. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So when you bow down, when you prostrate or you lay flat down on the ground and you face downward, it's a sign of humility, okay? It's a sign of being humble, okay? It's a physical sign. Are y'all still with me? Amen. It's a sign of showing humility. See? But right here, Jesus is not just talking about in the natural. He's talking about spiritual, see. So see, when I humble myself, because if you think about the position when you're laying flat down on the ground, you can't go no further. You're as low as you can go. Well, once again, it's a physical sign, but spiritually it means to humble yourself. In other words, get down as low as you can go because God is much higher than you are. Are you all still with me? It's spiritual, okay? Worship is spiritual, okay? In other words, I got to get myself out of God's way. I have to reverence him for who he is, not who I am. I have to lift him up for who he is, not who I am. Are y'all still with me? James tells us in chapter 4, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up, okay? When I humble myself, I put myself as the lowest low. In other words, I get out of God's way. Spiritually, it's like I'm laying flat on the ground looking at the ground because I can't get any lower. See, I can't humble myself halfway. Y'all still with me? I can't say I'm going to humble myself to God on Monday and then Tuesday. No, no, no. Worship is a lifestyle. I must stay humble. I need to stay down there. Not on the floor, but spiritually. I need to always humble myself. Because when I humble myself before the Lord, I'm showing God that I love him. I'm showing God that I serve him. I'm showing God that I respect him. I'm showing God that I reverence him. The different forms of worship. I'm showing God that it's all about him and not about me. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. But a lot of people don't do that. Because, like I said, they're not spiritually focused. See, worship is not based on location or position. Yeah, you can get in any position that you want to worship God, and praise God. You can, if you want to drive to Kansas City right now to worship him, by all means, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not based on location or position. It's based on if we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And the only way we can worship God in spirit and in truth, it was by way of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us how to praise and worship God the right way and not the vain way. Have I lost anybody this morning? What a mighty God we serve. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus said, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Those, he said, are the kind of worshipers that God is looking for. See, anybody can go through the motions. Anybody can drive all the way to Jerusalem. But Aria sung the song this morning. It has to happen on the inside. That's the difference between the spiritual worship and just regular worship. It must happen on the inside. Because if it happened on the inside, it's true. Are y'all still with me this morning? That's why he told the woman, in John chapter 4, look at verse number 22 again. I know I haven't moved here yet, but are we going somewhere else here, soon? He said, you worship, you know not. What? In other words, the reason why you worship in the mountain, because you don't know what you worship. Our salvation is of the Jews. How many know now the salvation is of whoever accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that whosoever, not just the Jews, see, because of what Jesus did. So he said, you don't know who you worship, but we know. See, worship is an action or an act of expressing reverence to a divine or supernatural being, in this case, to God. It's an act. It's an act. And it starts on the inside. And once again, to be able to worship God from the inside, I have to get myself out of the way. See, many people worship in vain, and I mean live their lifestyle in vain, because they really don't know God. That's why Jesus told a woman, you don't know what you worship. All she's doing is she's going to the mountain. Because you don't know what you worship. Because see, when people don't know God, they won't worship him the right way. But when we get to know him, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who sent Jesus, the one who, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here right now. When we really get to know him, then we would find out how we're supposed to worship him. But he said, you don't know what you worship. Well, the reason why people do not worship God in truth is because they really don't know God. They know of him, but they don't really know him. Not only do they not know God, they don't know who Jesus is. They heard of him, but they don't really know him. Not only do they not know who Jesus is, they don't know who the Holy Spirit is. They heard of him, but they don't really know him. Because if they really knew them, they would worship God the right way. So Jesus said, yeah, that's why they go to the mountain, because they don't really know God. He said, but I know him. And Christians, we need to get to know him also. Because the only way we can worship God the right way is that we must know God, we must know Jesus, we must know the Holy Spirit, because we can't know two out of three. We have to know all three. Because they all play a part in how we worship God. Jesus redeemed us, the Holy Spirit is here with us, and God is in charge. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. Because the only way we can worship God is that we must get ourselves out of the way. And we must get to know him. Go to Matthew 16. Are y'all still with me? Amen. This is a prelude to my New Year's Eve message. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Are y'all still with me? See. In Matthew 16. You know, many of us know the story or the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. He asked them in verse 13, he said, who do men say that I am, that I the Son of Man am? He said, well, they say you Elijah, they say you this person, they say you that person. And then Jesus asked Peter, he said, or then he asked him in verse 15, who said to them, but whom do you say that I am? First he asked the disciples who the people say he is. And then he asked the disciples, who do you say? And the Bible says Peter spoke up. Maybe Peter was the only one who knew who he was. I don't know. Because God revealed it to him. See, if I don't know, I'm not going to do. We know people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. That's biblical knowledge, and it's also secular knowledge. So if we don't know, a lot of times we don't do because we just don't know. I mean, there's an old saying, you don't know what you don't know, because there's a lot of stuff to know, see. But if we know, and we know it will benefit us, we will do, unless we're just lazy. Y'all still with me? So it's always good to know him. It's always good to know who we serve. Because if we do not really know him, we might not serve him the right way. Y'all still with me? But Jesus said, whom do you say I am? And look at what Peter said. He says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, and the Son of the living God. So Peter knew him, and Jesus said, flesh and blood could not have revealed it to you. My Father must have revealed it to you, and I'm going to give you the keys or the authority, okay, to the kingdom. Y'all still with me? Now, I want you to go all the way over to verse number 23, because now they know who he is. And then verse 23 said, but he turned and said to Peter, okay, he called Peter Satan because Peter tried to mess up Jesus' mission. He meant well, but Satan, I mean, you know, Satan, sometimes Satan can cause you to mean well, but you be mean well. I know it went right over some of y'all's head. You'll catch it at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. But look what the Bible says in verse 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know. In other words, Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself. In other words, you need to worship. In other words, you need to humble yourself. See? Because, see, Jesus, at this time, it had not happened. But if we want to follow Jesus, we need to worship him. We need to humble ourselves. We need to get out of the way. Well, Pastor, why is that? Number one, who died for you? Jesus did. Number two, who redeemed us? Jesus did. Number three, who's seated on the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for us? Jesus is. Number four, who obeyed the Father to come down here from heaven to earth to show the way? Jesus did. Number five, who do we pray to God through? In the name of who? Jesus. So in other words, without Jesus, he told us in a few weeks ago in the book of John, he said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. So that tells me then, if I know he's the Christ, the anointed one, and he says, listen, if you want to follow the anointing, you need to humble yourself. And how many of you know, humbling ourselves is a form of worship, because what I said, like I said earlier, we get as low as we can go. We lift Jesus higher. Why? Because of who he is. Like I said before, people don't worship him because they don't really know who he is. And the reason why they don't know how to worship is because they're not spiritually focused. They're worldly focused with spiritual thoughts. Are y'all still with me this morning? What a mighty God we serve. Because of what he did for us, he deserved the credit, not us. But we don't give him glory. We don't give him honor. We need to worship him. We need to make him number one in our life. Listen to this. People get sick sometimes. You know, me, you, while we're in this world. Or whatever. This is an example. And they pray that God heal them. They pray that God heal them. Lord, you know, please make me feel better. And God heal them. Yeah, you're taking the medication, but the medication don't heal you. Medication don't heal no one. Somebody told me one time, it don't heal you. It controls the symptoms. I'm like, really? That's why I don't like to take medication. My wife said, I don't like taking medication. I mean, nothing against it. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about me. Don't be talking about Pastor Ron. Don't take medication. I ain't going to take it either. No, I didn't say that. Talking about me. See? But people get healed. And your friends see you the next day. You look so much better today. Yeah, you know, I took that Robitussin, man. I feel so much better. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What about the healer who really healed you? Did we give him credit for it? I took the medication. And after I took the medication, I feel so much better. That's three eyes. Have you ever seen a three-eyed person? You got three eyes, you created a monster. They've taken credit for what God did. In other words, they're not reverencing him. They're not respecting him. They forgot it was God who delivered them. They forgot it was God who healed them. They forgot it was God that gave them their job. See, when we talk about the goodness of Jesus, when we give God credit for what he has done, Not what we have done, but what he has done. How many of you know that is a form of worship? See, we're going somewhere in 2022. We're not going to mess around no more. We're moving forward. And if I got to go by myself, I'll go by myself. I can no longer stay in the physical world. The Bible says God is a spirit, and guess what? If God is a spirit, that means we're spirits also, because we made his image and his likeness. I got to now focus more on the spirit world. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, sometimes we have to be reminded of who God is and of who we are. Sometimes we have to be reminded, because we forget. Jesus said, Peter, who of the disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood couldn't have revealed that to you. You must receive a spiritual revelation from God. How many know sometimes God will let you know who you are and who he is? Are y'all still with me? I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 20. I have 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Exodus chapter 20. 9 minutes. Amen, amen, amen. Exodus chapter 20. The Bible says here, because apparently they must have forgot who God is and what he did for them, children of Israel. The Bible says in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1, God spoke all these words saying, he says, I am the Lord thy God. Do you all see that? In other words, he's telling them, you're not God, I am. He says, I am the one which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. He said, I delivered you. It was me. You didn't deliver yourself. He said, I did it. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many of you know he's talking about worshiping him? He said, you shouldn't worship any other gods. There shall have no other god before me. You can't worship any other god because I am the one who delivered you. Are y'all still with me? Look at what it says. He said, thou, verse 4, shall not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in where? Heaven above. See, that's what the world do. The world will counterfeit something heavenly to draw people to that thing instead of to God. See, that's what Jeroboam did. See, because he didn't want the people to go to Jerusalem to serve God. Because it was all about I don't want the people to go down there, because if they do, they may be loyal to Rehoboam. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to make an altar at Dan and at Bethel. And what I'm going to use for the altar is golden calves, images. And when the people go worship the golden calves, it's like they're worshiping God. What's wrong with that picture? Christians, how many of you know that's called vain worship? And the world will try to get us to focus on the things of the world so we can worship the things of the world instead of God. God said, wait a minute. I'm the one that still got you alive today. I'm the one that blessed you with that blessing that you received. No, it wasn't no one else. It wasn't no false God. It was no worldly God. It was me. Are you all still with me? I mean, God told him, Jeroboam, if you do the right things, In other words, let me give you the roadmap. All you have to do is just follow King David. Let's do what he did. Certainly you know about him because you know his son in Solomon. That's all you have to do. But nah. Sometimes people get high positions, and now they want to, instead of following the command of God, they follow their own commands. But wait a minute. Because Rehoboam was no better. The southern kingdom guy. They both were wicked kings. Both of them. It was no good in any one of them. But what am I trying to get you to see? This is what I'm trying to get you to see. The people who are not Christians out in the world are trying to keep people from serving God. But how many of you know, just like Jeroboam, Christians in the church today are keeping people from serving God? Well, Pastor, why is that? Well, because they are following their own commands instead of following the commands of God. And when we follow the commands of ourselves, that's vain worship. But when we follow the commands of God, that's true worship. Because I told you, obedience is a form of worship. In other words, we worship the wrong way. We worship by lips. In other words, our mouth. We talk about worship. We talk about spiritual. But in actuality, we're worldly. I mean, the man said, I'm going to build some calves so people won't come down there. They'll just stay here so I can keep the people. Selfish. And that's why people don't come to church today. Because we have Christians in the churches all over the world who really don't know how to worship God. They focus attention on themselves, like Jeroboam did. Are y'all still with me? But let's go back to chapter 20. I'm almost done. Look what God said. He said, once again, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. He said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Okay, I told you, bow down is a form of worship. He says, nor serve them. Service is a form of worship. He told him again, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. See, when people see that, they look at jealous like we look at it, in a bad way. No, it's a good way. It's a good way. God is trying to get us to not operate in evil doings because he loves us. He wants to protect us. That's what that jealous means. He don't want to see us get hurt. He don't want to see us get in trouble. He wants to protect us. That's what that jealous means. That don't mean, oh, I'm jealous of what I had a pearl guy. No, that's envy. There's a difference between envy and jealous. God is not envious. He's jealous. In other words, he don't want anything to happen to us. So he's telling us what to do and how to do it so nothing will happen to us. Because when we do it our own way, it's like being in an umbrella in the rain. And you decide, well, I don't need this umbrella. I'm not going to get wet. And you throw the umbrella down. Like, rain, I'm getting ready to go. I'm going to leave the umbrella back. And guess what happens? You step away from underneath the umbrella, and what happens? You realize you can't walk through the raindrops. Are y'all still with me? I'm almost done. Look at what he said. He said, once again, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. How can you hate God? And then he said in verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that do what? Love me. I tell you, love is a form of worship. Love me and do what? There are other scriptures. We've seen it before. How do we show God we love him? By keeping my commandments. He said it in Matthew 22. Love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, all of them. Are y'all still with me? And then he said here, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I'm almost done. I got 25 seconds. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Let me explain it to you. And I'm going to be done for the day. But we'll pick this up again next Sunday. Because I have something else for you on Friday. People say, well, you know, God, don't take his name in vain. No, that's not what that means. You know, God, don't take his name in vain. No, that's not what that means. See, when God is saying don't take his name in vain, what he's saying is that don't disrespect me. Know who I am. Don't look at me as being just another idol. Because, see, people throw God around like he's a yo-yo. No. He is the creator of the heavens and earth. God said, when you think of me or speak about me, you need to know that you're not speaking against some old chump like you do everything else. Yeah, you know, God, he, you know, no. You need to know who we're talking about. He's going to take my name in vain. You need to know that I am God. Because when we don't, when we just throw his name around, we're not taking him seriously enough. We're not reverencing him for who he is. Are y'all still with me? We're not reverencing him for who he is. We think he's just deceitful sometimes. Just a regular person. The Bible says God is not a man. God is a spirit. He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. He's not just talking about his name, but he's talking about also worship. Don't worship me in vain. And then he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, people read that, they say, oh, we're supposed to go to church on Saturday. No, he didn't say go to church on Saturday. He said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, they're wrong. They go on Sunday. They should be on Saturday. No, they don't say go on Saturday. He said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The Sabbath is a high day. It happens to be on Saturday. But the week that Jesus died, there was two Sabbaths. That's another study. Y'all still with me? Stand to your feet. Christians, part two next week. You don't want to miss it. Invite somebody. Jesus said, I'm close. Go ahead and stand to your feet. The hour cometh, and now is. In other words, the time has come. Where there's a different way of worship to worship. He said, now it's time to separate the worshipers from the true worshipers. See, all throughout the Old Testament, the Bible talks about worship. And now here Jesus come talking about true worship. Well, what that tells us is that all worship is not true. I'm going to show you a scripture next week when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he talked about them having vain worship. And the reason why he said it was vain is because they wanted to teach people based on their own tradition. I'll show you that next week. In other words, what they were doing was they wanted to talk about what someone else was not doing. Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? And then Jesus asked them some questions. Well, why don't you do so and so? And then he called them vain. Y'all still with me? See, there's a right way to worship, there's a wrong way to worship. And worship in God is a lifestyle. And it's no longer based on what we do on the outside, unless we're being led by the Spirit on the inside. We're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit as we move forward. Because that's an ingredient that a lot of people are missing. We talk about God the Father. We talk about Jesus, but we forget about the Holy Spirit. When the anointing is here where or there, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit don't travel without the anointing. Guess what? The anointing can't travel without the Holy Spirit. It's another lesson. Christians, I'm here to tell you. We've had a very challenging year in this world. You know, COVID-1, COVID-2, COVID-3. All these different names. But it's not what the name is. As we've already been talking about last week, the name of Jesus is above all names. And it's time for us to reverence that and respect that. And it's time for us, instead of asking God for what we feel like we deserve, it's time for us to start giving him what he deserves. And what he deserves from us is not just pancake pack worship, but true worship. Because Jesus said the true worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this week I'm going to tell you how to do it. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.